Okay, good morning. I'm Jim Stimson. I'm at the City University of New York School of Public Health, where I'm the Associate Dean for Academic Affairs and Faculty Affairs, and also Professor of Health Policy. Not only do I wanted to be clear, not only do I not have any relationships to disclose, but there's no funding for this kind of research, so that's easy. And I've only visited California. I don't have any relatives or family there. I just like their data. So why am I interested in this? It's kind of a labor of love that I do in my free time as a hobby, which is that I'm passionate about active transportation, but we also know that it's on the rise. If you can see that in a lot of your communities, that cycling, bicycling is on the rise. And this is just this is part of our original analysis in this paper, but it just sets up that we also know that the pedal cyclist injury rate, and this is in data for California, and this is the rate is in terms of number of cyclist injuries per 1 million bike trips, which is why I love the California data, because you can actually get the true exposure rate of bicycling, how many trips people take, so to create a more accurate rate. But it's so bicycling is on the rise. The injury rate is on the decline. And so there's a couple different schools of thought out there that if you're really nerdy about this, like I am, people kind of debate over it and fight over it, which is that one is that perhaps people are bicycling more and it's safer because of the infrastructure that's being built. So communities are building more bike lanes or parking and creating bike share programs, and that's kind of the traditional view. Also, there's this notion that maybe that has nothing to do with that. There's that's just more people biking makes cars drive safer because more people are out and about, and so they have to be more cognizant of that. And so there's actually a bicycle advocacy organization that actually fights against money being spent on active transportation infrastructure. They just want to be out in the streets and be treated like cars, and that'll solve the problem. So there's two kind of camps out there, interestingly. But so my objective is there really an association between state government spending? Because I see that as a government spending as a policy decision, and you know, the state specific, rather than getting a federal grant, is a active policy decision on the part of that government to say, we value this, we want this to proliferate. So how much is the actual state, not just some kind of disassociating the what kind of federal grants they might be getting on active transit infrastructure and injuries. And like so many of these things, it's very complex. And so what I'm presenting here is very preliminary. But the other thing that I find interesting about California is that they've passed a lot of active transit policy in the recent years. So they've passed a complete streets policy for the state. Their carbon emissions plan includes bicycling. Bicycles are considered vehicles. A helmet is required for youth bicyclists. This is very unusual in most states and cities. There's a 3-foot safe passing required for bicyclists, and bicyclists and pedestrians can access major bridges and tunnels. So they are going in the direction of trying to make it more safe. And this is, I just pulled this from there's a group called Advocacy Advance, and they create a scorecard for each state and a lot of useful data. So one of the things that's highlighted in here, which, you know, California is like a lot of other states, which is that 92.3% of the costs of all infrastructure projects have some sort of bicycling and pedestrian facilities included. Meaning 97.7% of the cost of all projects have absolutely nothing, have no bicycle or pedestrian facilities. It's just cars or potentially public transit. So they also score states based on data transparency, and this is another reason why a lot of what I'm presenting today is very preliminary. They do have some information on their website, in the form of PDF reports that I then had to, you know, type myself into a spreadsheet in terms of their spending. So that wasn't very, you know, not very convenient. They did have a point of contact which I did email the state transportation individual that they indicated. And I said, you know, what would really help this is, one, if you could just validate what I've typed in, you know, based on these PDF reports, which they didn't want to do. They did send me the federal data, which was marginally helpful. And I also said, do you have data on how much, you know, you're spending money on the infrastructure? Do you have data on how many miles of infrastructure are available across the state? And he said, why in the world would we collect that information? I don't know, spending money on it might be interesting. So it was a challenge to get, you know, all of the information we wanted. But so we have, or me mostly, got active transit infrastructure projects and spending from the Caltrans Division of Local Assistance. The other thing that's kind of unique about this is, so this data will go up to 2013. In 2013, they passed a law in the state of California massively increasing the amount of money they're going to spend and consolidating that money that they're going to spend on active transportation. So you'll see, you know, like 2013, it's like $48 million. In 2014, they were supposed to have spent, according to the bill, over $200 million. So this could be really interesting to look at in the future. They're obviously making a policy decision to value this. I got population data from the census, bicycle trips. One of the things I love about California data, they do a household travel survey for which we can get accurate data on bicycle trips, at least every once in a while. They also have their own integrated system called the Statewide Integrated Traffic Record System. Normally you can get FARS, which is the Fatality Accident Record System, which has a census of all fatalities on public roads. But, and then if you want injuries, it's just, you know, at the federal level, at least anyway, it's a sample through the GEE, is the data set. So normally it's very frustrating to, you know, to calculate accurate rates for comparing fatalities and injuries, and then non-injury crashes, just property crashes. So this is one, you know, real positive feature of California, that they have this integrated system where you can get all of the crashes. And then they have, we have up to 2011 data on the emergency department database and their inpatient database. We're not been able to afford to buy their most recent version. Saying I'm out of my pocket, but out of my brief, small amount of discretionary funds. So, from the data that I collected, this is the number of active transit projects. So keep in mind, like with the federal data, this would be represent like 2% of the projects across, you know, of all transportation infrastructure projects across the state. So when you see 125 in 2013, that's 125 active transit infrastructure projects across the entire state of California. So not very many, but, you know, obviously there's many fold more for cars. And this gives the inflation adjusted, so these are in 2014 dollars, to make it similar across the board. So you can see how spending, the amount of spending, has varied over time, at a high of 82.5 million in 2002, and the most recent 2013, it was about 48 million. And again, theoretically, it should be manyfold more for 2014, but I wasn't able to get that information reliably, that I believed. And this breaks it down on a per capita, just so you can see how much are they spending per person on active transportation. So it's about $1.26 is being spent per person in California on active transportation projects. So here, I'm trying to display this data using different rates, just to kind of validate it, but, and again, this is just descriptive information. So do not interpret any of this as any means of causality. But here are showing on the x-axis, it's years from 2005 to 2013. And then the orange line is, in the left graphic, is bike trips per thousand. So that's calculating how many bike trips people make per thousand. And then the blue line is, for both of the graphics, is cumulative money spent per capita. Because you have to calculate infrastructure spending accurately for one thing, you have to inflation adjust it, but two, it is cumulative, because if they spend money on building a bike lane, it's not like that in 2012, it's not like that bike lanes evaporated in 2013. However, you have to account for depreciation costs. So for transportation projects, the depreciation is 7% per year on average. So we've factored in depreciation and inflation, but there is some a cumulative impact over time and spending infrastructure dollars. So, and then the right column that calculated the number of percent, the percent of active bicyclists. How many people actually not just own a bike, but ride it at least once a year. So both bike trips per thousand and percent bicyclists. And there seems to be at least some degree of correlation. Even when I did it, on an annual basis rather than a cumulative basis, the correlation is 0.6. If you look at just the cumulative spending over time, I mean the annual spending over time, but this is more like 0.9 correlation here. And then we look at the active transportation spending and the pedal cyclist injury rate. So the orange line is the total injury rate, and that's the same in both the left and the right. And then here I'm showing the cumulative money spent per capita on a per person basis, and also the cumulative money spent per biker, per active biker, just to show the money spent in different ways, take advantage of the data that we have. And so you can see that there's an inverse association anyway between those two measures, that the injury rate goes down as the money goes up. And even when you look at it at an annual rate, there's an association. It's just stronger when you look at it cumulatively, because each year they're maybe adding, potentially, I mean, they don't have the data, but theoretically, they're adding more bike lanes and more bike shares and bike facilities in general. That should be accumulating over time. And then for the ED visits, we only have up to 2011, but again, there's a negative association as they spend more per biker on infrastructure, the ED visit rate has gone down. And this is ED visit, not just in general, but specifically for injuries related to bicycling. So this is someone that visited the ED because they were in a bicycle crash and needed to be treated. And then the same thing for inpatient admissions. If they were admitted to a hospital because of injuries from a bicycle crash, there's showing an inverse association as well between inpatient admissions and how it's being spent. So in the preliminary, there seems to be unfortunately, I mean, for me, this is a labor of love, so this only encourages me to keep going forward. So I'll lose more free time, but there seems to be an association between state government spending and active transportation infrastructure, meaning there's with trends in more bicycles, more bicyclists, more bicycle trips, lower injury rates, lower ED visits, lower inpatient admissions. But this is very preliminary. There's certainly no evidence of causality at this time, but it suggests at least a little bit of evidence for the argument that the complex relationship between spending money on infrastructure and building infrastructure maybe influencing people to bicycle more. Perhaps they might not feel safe in increasing the number of people to bicycle, and that also having an effect without that infrastructure being available. I know this is true for also when you break this down, men and women, and some of the other research on just bicycling in general, women tend to feel more comfortable bicycling if there is more protected infrastructure. In fact, really the most telling feature you need is the percent of women that bicycle for commuting in a given community to indicate how friendly that community is for bicycling or perceived bicycling. So the next steps to really take this to the next level, I think, will require a very complex systems model, which we have one under review right now, not for this, but for we're looking at gas prices and motor vehicle deaths. So we'll see how successful that one is in getting accepted. But I think we need to bring in quite a number of other factors, because this is a very complex relationship, a lot of endogeneity. So you need to look at gas prices, transit infrastructure, if we can actually track that information down, the different policies, the demography, the climate, etc. So quite a lot of things. And I think actually we're already starting to do a little bit is, I think this also needs to be done, geospatial models of local data, you know, just looking at California or just looking at San Francisco, rather than statewide effects, because there's be quite a lot of differences in urban and rural areas and the transportation behavior. Any questions? Yeah.
Thank you for doing it after California.
Yeah. I think that probably will be the next step, I think, since you did flatly just deny me, but
yeah.
Passing, yeah.
I would really like someone to look at the effect of that, not just on the cyclist, but on the driver and the opposing driver, because we have the oncoming lane. What's happening, I live in Sacramento, which is becoming much more bike friendly.
Mm-hmm, yeah, yeah.
Close to Davis, which is the cycling.
Yes.
California, maybe the US.
Yeah, practically the US, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but what happens is,
yeah.
More and more, I think there'd be more motor accidents, and I don't know if anybody can track that.
Yeah, yeah. We've done a little bit of geospatial modeling of, and it definitely, you can undeniably see clustering at certain intersections, and or certain areas. So sometimes it's intersections, like you're describing. And then sometimes it's somewhat baffling because quite actually the largest number of crashes happen on a straightaway. And we've done a lot of distracted driving research in the past, and that's what we found in some of our other papers. Just people get distracted and can lulled into complacency and just run someone over. Yeah. Yeah. So Yeah, this didn't look at the federal data at all. I just looked at it just as a habit, we are just, this is just the state data, state dollars spent on local projects. So I can integrate how much that was spent, type it in myself for the different communities, and because all of that state and local funding happens through the Caltrans Division of Local Assistance. So I can integrate, add in that, and then we can look at how much was spent specifically in this community and break it out by state and local dollars. I haven't done it yet, but I think we need to, yeah. Yeah.
What's a complete street policy?
I mean, it's simply just that streets are made not just for cars, but for everybody to participate. Walking, bicycling, everything. So that generally, traditionally streets are generally designed around very specifically cars and maximizing throughput for cars. So a complete streets policy is a statement. It says we think it should be for other people other than, in addition to cars, everyone else. And so therefore we need massive changes in design.
Okay.